education of our children doesn't begin and end at academia. There is a spiritual responsibility on each parent and teacher to nurture and train a young soul spiritually. This is called Chinuch. Join Rabbi G every Monday at 2 p.m. as he explores education and Chinuch for parents and teachers. Torah isn't education, it's transformation.
We are back, as we do every Monday, where we discuss chinuch, we discuss education, we discuss anything that will help us actually get closer to our goals in life. What can we help ourselves, our families, our communities to improve who we are, to improve, just basically be living the life we want to live in the world we want to live and inspired in the way we should be. And many different topics we have, as we do every Monday. And this week, we are going to talk a bit about the world of work. And let's put it that way. As we are in holidays, you know, getting ready soon to go back to school, yet many of our teenagers are wanting to earn a bit more. And many of us are thinking, how are we going to utilize school for the best way to actually become financially stable? And many different things, specifically coming up to National Day and how that would be relevant as well. And for that, I have a guest with me. We're going to be discussing today these topics. And I'm here with Helen, who is from Orjet. And I'm actually going to let her introduce herself so we can learn a bit more about her. And let's go from there. Good afternoon, Helen. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good afternoon, Rabbi G, and thank you for inviting me onto the show and for the topic, which is so relevant at this time of year. My name is Helene Itzkin, and I am the HOD of Orjet.
Okay. A bit about Orjet.
So Orjet is an NGO, and what we do is we focus on small businesses. We combine networking, mentorship, and training to help small businesses grow ideas, grow businesses, and succeed. We don't only take on businesses that are in trouble, but we take on businesses who want to grow. So we're open to everybody. We have an unbelievable amount of very, very good mentors, and they're here, they're available, and they want to help.
When we think about business, we get a context of businessmen or businesswomen or people that are high up there in the hierarchy and managing and companies and things like that. Not always do we connect it to a young teenager who wants to start a little shop or a little trade or a little something to start. Is there room for that within what you do for beginners, for kids that are still in school, for people that are trying out in a very simple retail level? What are the boundaries of where Orjet is there and to support?
So Orjet is here to support everybody. Whether you are a 16-year-old entrepreneur or a 60-year-old entrepreneur, Orjet is here to help. And because we have such a variety of people with different backgrounds assisting our business, I do believe that a young entrepreneur would certainly benefit not only from the programs that we run, but also from our networking opportunities. You know, when I was sitting at the Jewish Achievers Award and I was listening to those really, really young entrepreneurs, their ideas and their success and how they achieved what they achieved, I was blown away. And I know that they may have been sitting there at the Achievers Award, but I do know that there are many others out there. And I would really like them to contact Orjet because I am sure that we would be able to bring them out of the woodwork and help them succeed further.
Are there many others out there? Meaning, compared to the amount of kids that are matriculating, young adults, so I don't want to offend anybody, but any of us finishing school and going into the work field, is that vibrant feeling of starting a business, becoming your own company or a startup or even a little shop or something, Are we seeing that a lot in you know, as a reality in community and in South Africa today, with people that maybe are potentially having a hard time finding a job with what we're happening? So it's, okay, let me start something. Let me make something happen. Do I have who to look up to that that's what they did? Is that the society we're living in?
You know, in South Africa, unlike in Israel, we don't really teach entrepreneurship from an early age in the schooling system. You know, the old thought was come out of school, find a job. But in today, the forecasts are that 23% of all jobs will be reshaped by technology. And that doesn't mean that there won't be jobs. There will be jobs. But if you can get ahead of the game, if you're entrepreneurial, if you have a business idea, you know, take it further, explore it, chat to others about it, see where it can go. The South African economy, and specifically the informal economy, is massive. It's not regulated, so we don't really have accurate numbers. But from, you know, people such as G.G. Alcock and others like him who do explore that domain, we know that there are a lot of entrepreneurs, and we know that they are the backbone of the economy, not only in South Africa, but in many other countries as well. So please.
So the part that the school system is not teaching, before we go into what schools can do, what are we doing to fill in that gap?
Well, there's Orjet.
Okay.
We, you know, often around the dinner table, you know, children weren't really, again, students won't realize, but they've actually got informal mentors in their lives anyway. It could be a teacher, it could be a parent, it could be an uncle, it could be somebody else's father or mother who has spoken to them, you know, run some ideas past them. You know, some students will say, I've got this idea. And all they need is somebody to soundboard it off to make it grow into something real.
Speaking to students many times, you could hear, and I'm talking about students, the younger ones, let's say, beginning of high school. A lot of times the feeling of that their mentors are social media influencers and people that they will follow and famous people and whatever it is. So many times I hear from students that they want to be famous. And when I say in what, it's secondary. It's really about I want to be famous. And what sometimes is not clear to many of the students is that being an influencer, being a social media a person that has accounts and has followers and has business, is a business. And you do need business skills to make it happen. And you do need a business system to make it happen. How do we overcome that gap in understanding that it's not as simple as you just go online and start taking pictures? There's a strategy, there's a company, there's a business happening here, or any business you see around, somebody actually worked hard to make it happen. It's not like, oh, he was lucky, he sold this and he became rich or whatever it is. There's almost like this instant gratification society that people are not as aware of how hard we work to create businesses.
Well, as you said, social media is a business. And from personal experience, I can tell you it's probably one of the most difficult businesses to get your head around because there are no real rules. So yes, you see this person is famous and that one has made millions and this one is getting products sent to them. But in the bigger picture, how many people are actually making a living from that? It's very few. They do make a lot of noise. And yes, everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants their time in the sun. But not everybody has the aptitude, the personality to be an influencer. And you most certainly need a plan. You need somebody to talk you through it. You need somebody to help you format a strategy of how you're going to go about it. You need a lot of encouragement from somebody who's done it before. And you need somebody who will bring correction and instruction and clarity to how you go about it. So yes, it's a business.
So, you know, you talk about everybody wants to be famous. And I'm going to leave you with a question, and we'll get back to that after the break, and which is, about the society today and about the world we live in a way of how do we approach life and approach our goals and aims? Meaning, for many years, when we used to speak about two cultures, the culture of people that their strategy for life is hard work and culture of people that their strategy for life is luck. Their strategy is one day I'll win the lottery and one day I will meet a prince and that will swipe me off my feet. That was their strategy. Now we're seeing a new strategy comes, I want to be famous, meaning could be that what's behind it is I want to be famous and get all the products sent to me, which is somewhere in between luck and hard work. Where is that coming in from a cultural point of view, and how do we address it to create this, to shift it more into the active workforce and not to let it slide to the luck strategy and way to move on? But I will leave you with that for a short break because we do need to work for our adverts, and then we will come back very shortly with it and continuing with this topic.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and I'm here with Helene Itzkin, who is a HOD at ArtJet, and we're speaking about work and mentality and students and starting at a young age and getting the mentor, which we'll get to the mentor day in a moment. And right before the break, I asked Helene about society today. And for many years, we were dividing the two main strategies of life. Is it hard work or is it luck? Do I want to wake up and go to work and make money, or do I want to wake up and win the lottery? And the differences between them. And yet we're seeing the new concept of I want to be famous, I want to be in social media, I want to get followers, I want to be create noise, as Helene said. Where would you put that from a social point of view, and how do we direct it into productive?
So from a social point of view, this is the reality. This is how students live. This is their world. Their world is forever on show. You know, I mean, if I think about it, it must be really difficult to always have to be looking to be famous, always have to show your photos and your dinner and your, you know, your social life for the whole world to see.
It's definitely difficult. I mean, if we live a life that you value yourself based on the amount of likes, that's why we're seeing the mental health crisis that we're seeing now.
Absolutely. So how do we deal with it? I have no idea. You know, I do have children in their 20s. And, you know, I see them on their phones all the time and I see them watching their friends. But as a solution to their reality, I don't have any. And we think we would probably need to embrace it, but teach them how to work within it. Teach them what normal expectations are. And again, not everybody's famous, although it seems as if every single person that they're looking at online is famous and having this wonderful life. And it is creating massive mental, you know, mental health issues and people who feel less than and without good self-esteem. You know, the world is a very difficult place. It makes you make bad decisions.
But if we look at it from ArtJet point of view, if somebody's spending 6 to 8 hours a day on something, there potentially should be a way to teach them how to generate money out of it. And I'm not saying it in a negative way, but if you're that deep into that social media, if we create a concept that if you're going to spend 8 hours a day, it needs to be more productive than just watching. And you need to be able to either generate income through it or don't do it. And that will come, you know, when we discuss that doing it for that amount of time, you will generate an income. Potentially people will say, well, if I'm not making an income, then I'm not doing it. How do we shift that concept? Because that's the business world. The business world concept knows how to make money out of things that can potentially create something, even if most people don't see it at this point. So what do we do if we want to lead in the field?
So Rabbi G, youth today are very au fait with technology. They buy everything online. So if they would like to take that skill set and develop it. I suggest they start to understand online platforms where they can buy and sell off. They need to understand logistics. They need to understand how Takealot and Temu and all of the other massive online platforms make money. And if this is where their interest lies, they need to study something that can help them along the way and take on a mentor who's done it before them. You know, that's probably the best way for them to embrace the time that they spend online, let them get some followers together and let them find a product that their followers would be interested in purchasing.
Okay, because, you know, and then I'll move on from this because I don't want to get too stuck here. Yet in reality in life, we see the world as a place that everybody sees the market and the business world and says, okay, there's a part of it where I'm going to spend money and there's a part of it where I'm going to earn money because that's how the world lives and works. And if I cannot make, I'm not going to be able to spend. Yet we're seeing the virtual world, a lot of us, just as a place of spending and not seeing the balance that we would see in reality world, in the basic world that just like I earn, I spend, and just like I spend, I need to get a job and earn and keep that balance, which maybe we'll have to get to. So you mentioned a few times as we're speaking about a mentor and a concept. Let's talk a bit about a concept, I am a mentor day. What does that mean?
So I'm going to say, like Sir Isaac Newton summed up the value of mentorship, he said, if I have seen further than others, it's by standing on the shoulders of giants. And for me, that really sums up mentorship. It sums up, get hold of somebody who's done it before you. Get hold of somebody who's fallen and gotten up and fallen and gotten up so that they can tell you and help you and guide you so that you perhaps don't fall and get up as many times as they did. You know, get somebody who will listen to you, get somebody who has an interest in you, get somebody who will give you time, a plan, encourage you, bring correction and instruction and clarity to what you're thinking and what you want to do. And it's never too young.
How do we campaign that concept of finding a mentor? Because if we look at today's reality again, that information is not a thing. If you're asked a question, I've had it many times with youngsters that I give a lecture somewhere, and I asked a question, and from the podium, you see a lot of the crowd, and the amount of people just pulling out their phones under the table or behind the seat that nobody sees that they're Googling the answer is insane. And that means that huge numbers, and sometimes the whole crowd, are not trying to think, not trying to figure out the information, and not trying to receive information from someone with the feeling I don't need it. Information. I could just Google it at any time. The concept of getting a mentor is the feeling of humbleness in a way. There is something that someone can offer to me that I don't know. And there is something that I could learn and grow and achieve and become. It's understanding authority, it's understanding power, it's understanding the whole world, how it passes on from generation to generation. We're in a way that's shifting. And, you know, we speak about the power of a mentor. Are people actually still, and I'm specifically talking about youngsters, reaching out and saying, hey, I need a mentor. I acknowledge what Newton said. I want to be able to see to the distance from somebody else's shoulders to be able to get that information and knowledge somehow.
So, no, it's about handing over the baton, actually, because what could be better than sitting down face to face with somebody who will talk to you, somebody who will understand your goals? Just, of course, you're correct. Every single one of us can go online. We can Google whatever we want to know. We can get an answer. We can use ChatGPT. There's many, many resources to get information. But that doesn't give you the one-on-one face-to-face value of human interaction. And the value of that can never be underestimated. You know, somebody who sets goals for you, who will be excited at your achievements, because AI and Googling will never give you.
I agree 100%, and probably anyone in our generation agrees to that, and maybe even a bit younger. Yet when a company starts a business, when any company starts, they don't inform the public they have a product. They teach the product, the public, you need our product. And you need, you'll be a better person, you'll be a happier person, a wholesome person, whatever the dream that they're selling is, we have what you need. And we can't go to the youngsters and say, we have a mentor for you, without telling those kids that are not necessarily aware of their need of a mentor, exactly what you just said. Nothing can be better of someone who cares and has an interest and listens to you carefully and guides you and helps you. And you'll need it and you'll be wholesome with it. We need to campaign that message. As much as it's weird because maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, we never, everybody wanted a mentor. We didn't have to campaign it. We may have to do that today. Is there a message that you would send out to even on this show now to the youngsters saying, this will make you a better person. You need a mentor.
So what I would say to them is I would say to them, go and Google all of the people who have good businesses, great businesses, and I can guarantee you that each and every one of them has had mentors throughout their lives. So if you want success, it's very difficult to do it on your own. I do believe that in the schooling system, once again, the value of mentorship should come up and should be discussed together with entrepreneurship. But everybody that I know has had a mentor. Everybody that has a successful business, they may only realize this, youth may only realize this much later in life, but when they think back on their lives, may have been a teacher that set them in the correct path, may have suggested something, may have put them on, you know, in touch with something, may have career guided them. Their earliest mentors are probably their teachers.
So when you say that the school system here is not invested in creating the next entrepreneur leadership, that means that it's on the parents. What would you tell parents that they need to invest in guiding their children and creating that vision, image, reality that their children would potentially grow up and say, hey, that's what I want to do. I want to mentor. I want to start a business. I want to create something. I want to earn income. I want to be stable on my own, not work for someone. How do you light the spark?
So parents should teach their children to have no fear, to just do it. So what if it doesn't work the first time or the second time or the third time? Just do it. Don't be scared. Embrace lifelong learning. You've got, you know, when you're young, you've got time on your hands. Just take the time. Let parents allow their children to take the time to explore rather than to dictate, you will be a this and you will be a that. And to encourage them to open their own businesses. Something's, you know, any idea is worth trying. Just don't have fear.
Many parents would be too scared to say that because, yes, maybe every idea is worth trying, but not if you use all your savings on it. So we need to find the boundaries between trying and not losing everything you have and not getting into debt and being responsible. And, you know,
that's
you say,
all education.
Exactly. So then what can parents do? Because you're talking about parents teaching their kids not to be scared. I'm a parent. We're all frightened as being parents and managing our kids. And how do we do this even? So that fear is a factor. And I'll add to it, and then I'd love to hear how do we shift things, is failure is a huge thing today. Now, the sayings that we grew up on, as I remember my teacher always saying us, I've never failed in life. Either I succeeded or I learned. And I got the next, tried for the next round because now I learned more and more and more. There was never ever failure. Now failure is a huge, scary thing. Why is failure so worrying that we've shifted from I haven't failed, I just learned a lesson, to no, I failed?
Well, you just said it. Failure should be a lesson. It should be something that to learn from. As I said, lifelong learning. And how do you succeed if you don't fail? You need to learn. You know, that's, you know, life isn't fair. Life happens and failure happens and success happens, and it's not luck. The harder you work, the luckier you get. So you need to do things.
So
you need to try.
Okay, so let's talk about mentors for Brazil. You talk about mentoring day and the ability to become a mentor, and someone should be a mentor. If you have a mentor who's a businessman and has done it already, which I'm assuming that your mentors have done it already, then the average age would probably be, let's call it over 40. And we're now appealing to 16-year-olds saying, go get yourself a mentor, someone who understands you and understands business. How do we create that connection even between such a gap of some of these businessmen? When they started business, they probably was not even social media in the market yet. And now they're going to mentor the young generation. How does that work?
It's a very good question. You're asking me, how do they connect? So with mentorship, you need to form a relationship. And I can tell you from our experiences at AutoJet, we will place a business with a mentor, and sometimes we get it wrong. And it's because there's bad personality fit. So that's why we insist that when a mentor and a mentee get together, they meet face to face. And the mentee has to phone the mentor and ask for help. And they have to sit down and they have to see if there's a rapport. And if there's no rapport, no amount of mentoring, whether you are in your 60s or you're 16, will benefit either. So it's a match. And just because you are a young adult, I'm not sure that you would feel uncomfortable with somebody in their 40s guiding you. We do, work with peer-on-peer mentorship in AutoJet. We do run sessions where, you can discuss ideas, and we are encouraging more youth to join us. And I do hope that after this talk, there is an influx of youth, and perhaps through the networking opportunities that we offer, we can better prepare ourselves to work with younger people.
Is there a avenue that AutoJet currently has or can look at through the schools or through camps or through youth movements or communities or schools or something that will connect the business world community to the youngster community?
We would very much like to go down that road and explore it further. I'm very happy to meet with the youth organizations. We do work quite closely with Habonim, and they do a lot of volunteer work for us. And they're quite exposed to the AutoJet family and how we work. But I would like to get more involved with the schools and the youth organizations in general.
Okay, so we can maybe chat after the show about it and see how we can create, because the youth organizations are at this show, and actually in the show we have put quite a few projects together between two people, so organizations. So let's discuss and look and see how we go from there. When we talk about the time of year as well with the National Day, is there a special event or something that you're using this opportunity in order to discuss or bring the concepts of mentorship into life?
So we're running programs constantly. We have a business show. It's starting on Chai FM on the 16th of January. It will be hosted by David Seidel, and we encourage youth to call in, to listen up, to send us information about what they would like to hear about entrepreneurship. And through this show, I'm sure there'll be many learning opportunities. So again, the 16th of January, 6 p.m.
So let's take a break, and then right after the break, we'll speak a bit more about the show upcoming at Chai FM and see what we can get from that. A short break, and we will be right back.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and in a fascinating discussion, I'm here with Helene Itzkin, who is the HOD at AutoJet. And right before the break, Helen, you were sharing about a new business show coming up on Chai FM on the 16th of January, and with hope that that will bring more people in the community and youngsters and connection to the business world. a bit about the show, what's planned for us to hear there?
Sorry, I didn't get you.
So I'm saying, right before the break, we spoke about the show that's upcoming for the 16th of January, which would be the business show together with Orjet. What can we expect there?
So what you can expect on the show is interviews with people who have built businesses. You can expect interviews with lecturers and professors from business universities. You can expect encouragement. You can expect different topics. You spoke about business and mental health. With regards to business, we can talk about that as well. You can also expect to hear opportunities. I'd like to tell you about one now. We, AutoJet, is promoting the ANEES program. And now the ANEES program is for engineering students between the ages of 18 and 25. They're wanting to study at the Technikon in Haifa, Israel. The value of the first year is 300,000 Rand, and it's a full sponsorship. And if you would like to discuss your eligibility, you can probably contact myself or our CEO, Ariella Rosenberg. But it's an opportunity for engineering students not to be missed. So Rabbi, as I said, there'll be these sort of, you know, connections that we'll be bringing to the show to help people know what's out there and to be able to work with us to, you know, to connect.
To connect and make it happen.
Yeah.
When we look at the mentors that invest in, within other businesses and other people, are there benefits for a mentor to become a mentor?
So we try and run enrichment programs for our mentor. We also run in the boardroom sessions. And these in the boardroom sessions are with top CEOs. And our mentors are invited. We keep it very small, so it's personal. We go to the premises of the business, and we would sit around the boardroom table, and the CEO would then tell about his journey, how he built the business, what he did, where he came from. It's a personal, you know, it's a personal opportunity for our mentors to perhaps meet people that might be difficult for them to meet, you know, in their personal capacity. We run training, we run mental madness. So it's an opportunity for other mentors to meet each other and perhaps leverage business off one another. So we do try our best, and we, you know, if there is anything that people would like, you know, to get from mentorship, we're open, you know, we're open. We're always open to learning.
When we talk about mentoring and helping, one would come potentially and say, well, I'm struggling with my business. I don't think that's something Ort can help. I don't have a cash flow. I don't have money. I don't have clients. Or what is it that you actually can offer? And what would you say the leading causes that you're finding that is holding back businesses from success today?
So a lot of the businesses that we work with are small businesses. And when somebody starts up a business, they generally do everything, which dilutes their time and dilutes their expertise. So once they join the program, we look at how they can structure their time better. If they need staff, if there's somebody within our network that we could introduce them to help them source the correct staff. If they need funding, we could perhaps introduce them to somebody or one of the banks that would assist with funding. So we're a pathway, we're a conduit for our businesses to get what they need to move forward. We are looking at something called Business in a Box, which is for businesses where we look at all the resources that a business would need to succeed. And through our mentor network, we would introduce them, say it would be an accountant that they would need. We would introduce them to an accountant, and we would, sort of make sure that the structure, the fee structure was suitable, that they would be able to afford what they need to be able to bring in the resources to be able to grow.
Amazing. So basically, besides for supporting businesses with this new project, you would be also helping people find jobs. Because it would go so both ways.
So AltJet doesn't find jobs, but AltJet does introduce resources. So if you were a marketing company and we had businesses that wanted to outsource their marketing paid for, we would introduce. We would do an introduction and it would then be between our business.
Okay, so you won't introduce them to an accountant, you'll introduce them to a firm that they could work with.
Yes, we'll introduce them to people that would be able to assist them to be able to grow their business,
Okay. The relationship today between the community in general and the business community, is that a vibrant, productive relationship? Or is there a gap in a way between businessmen and women, business world, to the people in the community that I'm talking about from a social point of view, from a relationship point of view, from a aspect of community structures and building? What is the relationship that's happening? And are we in a place of a strong relationship that is benefiting both sides?
So, you know, we do promote that we support that our businesses and our mentors and the South African community in general supports local. Because if we can get money running through the economy, we then have a chance at improving the lives of everybody. And if businesses are successful, the statistics show that if they employ one person, they're in fact the ripple effect of the employment of one person positively affects 15 others. So yes, wow. Support local wherever you can, please.
Okay, so that is a whole discussion on its own, which does put quite a bit of stress there. We do need to take another break, and when we come back, we'll start heading towards the end of the show with a few more points to discuss. A short break, and we will be right back.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and towards the end of a very important discussion that I had today with Helene Itzkin, who is the HD of AltJet. And before we end the show, you know, Elaine, as we were speaking, you mentioned almost in passing about one of your projects, one out of many, that you will sponsor and send students to go overseas for engineering to Israel, to the Technion. Give me a word about that. What is that? Is that open for anybody? What's the criteria? Do you need to have some money on your own? Is it only for kids that can afford it, that can't afford it? What is this about?
So the INES program is for students that are interested in engineering. The Technikon in Haifa is one of the most highly respected universities in the world. And this is an opportunity for students who cannot afford the fees to be sponsored, and it's a full scholarship worth 300,000 rand a year. And wow. Again, anybody that is interested, please go to our website and send us a message on WhatsApp, www.altjet.org.za, and I will put you in touch with the organization. They are based in Israel. This is not an AltJet program as such. We are promoting it and trying to get the word to all of those mathematic geniuses that would like to get into the program. It's an opportunity not to be missed.
Amazing. Last question, and we're going to end with that, which I asked all my guests here. What do you wish and hope to see in our community, in our society, in the coming years to give us a more sustainable, productive society and country?
So that's quite a question. You know, I really do honestly believe in small businesses, and the growth of small businesses will, like it has proved in other successful countries, support communities. And if we can keep people off welfare because their businesses are successful, that would make me really, really feel that the AutoJet program has its place and is working and can grow. We're going into our 20th year this year. We have helped over 2,000 businesses.
Amazing.
Since 2005. And I just hope that we can continue doing and growing and helping people to succeed. That's what my wish.
Please God, and you are, and things are happening, so that's really amazing, and very excited about your show coming up, and Chai FM here from the 16th. Thank you so much, Inan, for being with us today. Really appreciate the work you do and the discussion. Thank you, Craig, for managing the show. Thank you, Sana, for organizing this interview, and thank you to our listeners that are here week after week, Monday, 2 to 3, and enjoying the last moments of your holiday, potentially, or you're already back at work or starting work, whatever it is, stay safe. Let's learn, let's achieve, let's have a great time, and we'll be back next week, Monday, 2 to 3, as we do always with a new topic. Bye.